They always hear on. They answer the phone all day with different players. I would say every week they get a call about. I'm guessing most any player, they can weigh into that. There's no reason why they wouldn't, and they do. If they can find a way to make the team a better team and swing a deal with another franchise, more than likely away from our division, away from our conference, they will do that. And right now, Cordero is not part of a plan to do that, but it's not to say that they wouldn't entertain the thought if someone made it right.
Cordero is no chance. Peterson is no plans.
I thought you said it the other way around.
If I did, I apologize.
Because I think that they would be very willing to deal and make a big-time trade for Adrian Peterson. But you said that there's no way it's going to happen then with Cordero.
Zimmer said no chance with Cordero, no plans with Adrian.
I mean, that's just a cheap play on a guy that you've got on a rookie contract that you have to find a way to connect with him. I don't think anyone has much interest in him because they already are seeing they're reading the writing on the wall right now about Cordero and his inability to be able to pick up the offense and to become a real-time receiver. Fantastic athlete, fantastic return man, but I don't think anyone really is looking at that because the return game has been limited so much by the ruling of special teams and returns.
Plus, I think we gave up a second, third, fourth, and seventh, or second, third, fifth, and seventh
to
trade up with the New England Patriots to select Cordero Patterson. There's no way you're going to get that return.
I really do.
And Mike Zimmer said he's had three different offensive coordinators in the last 3 years. He's a young kid that doesn't have a lot of football experience.
He
likes what he's been doing in the offseason. He saw some tape on him, and so you never know with Cordero Patterson. Like you said, we get him so cheap because he's on that rookie contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy to make a decision like that. If he doesn't work out with one more season here, I could easily see something happening then. But
then, hey, no skin off your back.
No skin off your back at all. The other guy, you can land big, really big, in terms of what you would get back for Adrian Peterson, and it would be hefty. And it would only make your team better. And I mean probably one, if not two, first-round draft choices. I mean, that's what I think they're talking about is probably one this year and one next year. That would probably be one of the scenarios.
That's what Bill Polian said. Dave Pye, back at the studio. Do we still have Austin on line one, or did he go away?
He went bye-bye.
He wanted to talk about Adrian Peterson, but 651-989-9105 if you want to call, because working in sports talk radio, and then fans, obviously, because I'm a fan, too, of the Minnesota Vikings and Twins and whatever, but Austin said some pretty interesting things. I mean, he was going to go on the radio here, but it looks like he dropped off, saying how his opinion on Adrian Peterson has changed from last year, obviously, but he also said that it almost changes every single day back and forth. And I couldn't agree more, because sometimes Adrian Peterson, you're like, well, he's still the best running back in football. He can wad on all he wants to, but he's still under contract. We want him back here with the Minnesota Vikings. But then you're like, oh, then he's indicted for, you know, beating his kid. And then now he's riding on a camel here. And now he's saying, his agent's saying that he's not a fit here in Minnesota. We want out of Minnesota, this and that. It's every day you go back and forth with, you just don't know what's right when it comes to Adrian Peterson and what feelings that you're having, if they're real or not.
So true. I mean, I side with you on that one completely. Going into last season, for the first game against St. Louis, I mean, he was still one of the athletes that I cherished the most of having here as a Viking and part of our history here with the Vikings. 1 week later, sitting at a bar, doing a live show with Bob Sansevier, you made the breaking news to us about the child abuse or the alleged child abuse.
Well, the indictment.
At the time.
Yeah.
And the indictment in front of the grand jury down in Texas.
Yeah.
Everything came crashing down for me then. I gave it every chance in the world. I tried to live it out and to listen to everything that I could hear. And I come to the conclusion now that he's just a really freaking good football player. But I don't really care for this guy, for this newfound Adrian Peterson that I never knew existed. I didn't know he was all about this other stuff. And it just kind of ruined it for me. And that's just me. You can have your own opinion. That's just my opinion. And I have to think that if it was the same guy that I thought going into the season was riding the camel into the birthday party this year, I wouldn't have cared less. I would have thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just good old Adrian Peterson, my hero, riding in for his birthday somehow and just having fun with the people there in his hometown, I would have thought that was funny. But because he is such a jackass now, and he's just been so squirrely about this whole thing and his agent, now doing that, I'm like, it's just confirmed that he is now. It ruins it. There's nothing wrong with doing what he did, but it's just such the wrong thing to do it and the wrong time.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. There are three different scenarios, basically, with what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. The first being the Vikings dig in, which is what they're doing right now. They're going to make him honor his contract. He's either going to come back or he's not. And let's just say he sits out this year, and so the Vikings get nothing. The second scenario being they trade him for something that he's not necessarily, something that they're not going to get in return what he is worth to the Minnesota Vikings. And then the third, them, you know, just cutting him and not getting anything in return. Which one's worse?
Well, cutting him and not getting anything in return.
Okay, well, how much
not cutting him, but just letting him ride it out.
But how much damage do you think it does to the franchise and the Minnesota Vikings, the fan base, the team, the young team, if they hold onto their guard, what they're doing right now?
What they're doing right now, and he doesn't play.
And Adrian Peterson doesn't play.
And he doesn't play. That's the all-time worst. We don't get any production on the field, and the Vikings are out a lot of money because they're still going to have to pay part of that.
No.
I think they would have to pay part of that contract.
No, because he'd be holding out, and they'll fine him to death.
I think there's part of that they
would still... He has no guaranteed money left on his contract.
I don't know about that. I don't know for sure, but I bet there is guaranteed money built into those last 3 years.
There
I'm just guessing.
No, all the guaranteed money is done. They paid it up front. Rob Brzezinski is very smart about doing that with several players.
I know Rob, and I trust him, too.
No guaranteed money. I went through the contract numbers again this morning.
Well, then, I mean, just let him rot out there.
Yeah.
I think... After 3 years, he would be no good to anyone at that point, 3 years down the road. He would not be able to play another down anywhere else. I don't care. If you're 33 years old and you haven't played, essentially at this point, if we're talking about this scenario, it would be almost 4 years of football removed from football. No. You cannot come back and play running back at 34. Even though it's him. Even though it's really him. I mean, if anyone could, it would be him.
Yeah, if we can't get as something absolutely unbelievable in a trade, I say dig in your ground, hold out, make him not come play for you and see what happens.
There's no guaranteed money at all built into this.
No, none. None whatsoever.
Okay, it's a good ploy then to just sit it out and wait it out.
Real quick, take a quick call. Quinn from St. Paul, you're asking about what the process is and what's beneficial in a trade for Adrian Peterson. You're on 105 The Ticket. You've got about a minute. What's up?
Hey, guys. Glad to be on here. Love the show. Real quick, really bummed out Van Halen ain't coming to St. Paul. But I'd like to talk about the process of, the interview process when they interview talent. Can't they weave out some guys who have problems memorizing or learning a playbook?
Who are you talking about again? You threw a name in there. Who was it again?
Patterson.
Okay.
Or Daryl.
Does he have a hard time learning a playbook?
Apparently so. Now, and Gibbon, now listen, this is no joke. He's been through three offensive coordinators, one of those being Norv Turner. That is in itself like a football experience for most guys. Even Greg Jennings last year said, this guy's offense is like a jigsaw puzzle. And he was a seasoned veteran player. He was having a tough time trying to get acclimated to the language of Norv Turner's offense. So I have no doubt thinking what must be going through Cordarrelle Patterson's head right now. It must be spinning. As of last year, it was, but it's got to settle in this time around. It has to. If you got a guy like Charles Wright who can jump in and just start playing football like he did last year, you don't care. You don't even want to open your playbook, apparently, because Charles Wright jumped in and was very effective last year.
Yeah, Jarius Wright and Charles Johnson, I think, is what you meant.
That's
all right. I know what you meant. Thank you, Quinn, for calling. You're always welcome to call everybody, 651-989-9105. We have to take a break, though. Jim's rich. That's what I call him. Jim's. Like plural.
Jim's extremely rich.
Yeah. Fox 9, sports, hockey. We'll talk
overrated,
hockey.
Way overrated. I don't know what he's running from. Hopefully he won't be running from our phone call. The great one from Fox 9, Jim Rich, right after the break.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's got to the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
This Sunday, the STP 500 is at the shortest track in the Sprint Cup Series, Martinsville Speedway. Tune in Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
The buzzer couldn't come quick enough in that first period, but once we weathered that storm, I think we felt pretty good. Liked our second period. It was tough to give up the goal at the end of the period, but still liked our second period a lot, and I think our third period was the best.
Hey, Ben.
Trying to do a broadcast here, and you guys are just driving me up a wall.
You know what? You got a problem.
I do have a problem.
You got a problem. You know what?
My problem is the superstar
Mike
Morris.
You hate people more than I hate people, and shoot, I hate people.
How do you know I hate people more than you hate people?
You told me during the break you hate people.
Not this last break. It was a long time ago.
Let's just put it to the test. Come here, young lady. Come here. Your name, please?
Candace Wheeler.
Candace? Mike Morris. Hold on just a second. You don't know this man, do you?
No, not at all. Never seen him. Looks kind of weird, though.
Whoa.
Your thoughts, then, to this
Hater.
Young lady.
Hater.
Okay, well, there it is. There it is.
If she would have said something nice, I might have liked her.
See how that goes? See how that goes?
I feel like she was just worried because you're muscular. I think Jim's Rich is on the line. Let's talk to Jim.
You know what, Jim? So sorry to be ignoring you again. We love you like a brother sometimes. I used to beat the snot out of
like
my brother
uncle.
Every day. But listen, since you lead the brackets and you're pretty much dominant in everything else you do in the world of sports, we're going to let you talk anyway.
I can hardly wait till you guys go to the state fair. You love people so much. I can hardly wait till you're back on the midway once again.
It's just been one of those days, Jim. Everybody's got one of those days, and it's all right. It's not. I mean, I told the superstar in confidence that I just, you know.
That he hated people.
Not that I hate everybody.
I wish now that I hadn't gone out and said that you hate people.
Just people in masses just aren't necessarily the smartest of people. If you get people one-on-one, they're making their own decisions.
Well,
they're smart people. You get them in masses, and there's that crowd mentality where they just don't make very good decisions.
They want to turn on
you.
They're all jicky-jacks.
Yeah. It's all right. Jim, what about
14 days of the fair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be great. But I'll have...
done that.
I'll have the sheep behind me to go take out my frustration on. You know what I'm saying?
You have to fight me for it. James, this Wild Squad. We were talking yesterday about
pretty
winning
good.
About winning 9 games somehow.
Well,
five of nine to get into the playoffs and to guarantee ourselves of the playoffs. They just won one last night. Your thoughts on Devin Dubnyk?
All right, well, this is the last time we're ever going to answer this question. When does he come out of the nets? Never. Never.
Never does.
I mean,
never.
He's past the fail-safe point. You can't turn back now. You have to have everything. And we were talking about giving him a game a little while ago and trying to pace him for the long haul. I mean, that's how bad he had to stay in because we're still not in it right now. We're not guaranteed in right now at all. We still have to win 4 out of the next 8.
But it was still pretty good because now we're only 3 points behind Chicago for that third spot in the Western Conference, the Central. And then I want to say we're 3 points now ahead of Winnipeg because we had those back-to-back games that didn't play last night, as far as I'm concerned anyway. They didn't get 2 points last night. We did. James, without Devin Dubnyk, we would have lost that game 5-2 last night because there would have been 5 goals alone in the first period.
Correct. That's even what Zach Parise said. And Zach usually is very careful with his words, but that's kind of an indictment of the rest of the goaltending on this team. When Zach comes out and says in the post game, yeah, we would have been down 5-0 had Dubnyk not been in there in that first period. I mean, they were horrible in that first 20 minutes. All they did was chase the puck. They didn't have control of it. They just basically stood around and watched the Islanders take shooting practice on Dubnyk. But he continues to be the guy, and there's no doubt. And now you have to start thinking about, historically, what kind of season this really is for the Wild. Because, okay, they got the franchise record for most wins on the road. That's up to 10, still counting. They've already set the franchise record for most wins on the road in a season. They've set record for most points on the road in the season. And last year in the playoffs, matter of fact, the last 2 years, they only won one playoff game away from home. So let's hope that this translates into positivity when they get to the playoffs and they do have to start on the road. That playing on the road shouldn't be a problem for this team after this run.
No, they've been much better on the road, for sure. And then I want to say the next 2 games, over 8 days. So Devin Dubnyk has plenty of chance to rest up and heal a little bit, as well as the rest of the players. But only being 3 points back from Chicago with 8 games to go, we play Chicago, too, one of the last games of the season on the road. What are the chances you think we get past that wild card spot and get one up into the top three in the Central?
Well, I mean, you can't doubt this team anymore. I think we're past that point.
These guys.
I don't think you can. What's that?
Go ahead, James. I'm so sorry, young man. I'm cutting you off. I'm getting excited here. I just sit next to Ben Holson all day, and I just ooze with excitement. But, I mean, can you imagine if we had started off the way this team should have started off, if it was Dubnyk? And I asked you this again yesterday, Jim. But, I mean, this is the kind of team that we don't have to worry about. In the playoffs, they've been battle-tested against Chicago and St. Louis and Anaheim and Nashville. And I mean, on the road both ways, they've been able to win these games. I like their chances once they get in the playoffs. You can't count this team out at all in anything, any scenario.
No, and that's what the feeling seems to be like when you watch. It's weird because you watch them, and even though they're getting outplayed and, other teams are getting great scoring chances, it just seems like, you know what, they're going to come back. They're going to turn the tide. And they were able to do that in the second period a little bit, and then the third period, the Wild pretty much, I don't know if dominated is a little over the top, but certainly had the edge in play against the Islanders. Zach Parise, not to be denied, jammed home the game-tying goal, and then, of course, it's Zach in the shootout getting the only goal, and Dubnyk doesn't let anything in on three straight breakaways. So, this stings of a team that could make a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Just with the way the defense is playing, the way your forward lines are doing, and with Dubnyk, if he continues to be this good, I mean, people are already talking outside of this market that he should be up for the most valuable player in the National Hockey League. And he's only been here since the trade deadline.
Love him to death. I love him to death. He's unbelievable. He's the sole reason. It's funny. I'm going to ask you about this. Jim Rich from Fox 9. A couple of months ago, before the new year, before the All-Star break, the Wild obviously were in some tough shape, and people were calling for Mike Yo's head, the head coach of the Minnesota Wild. And now, since they're on such a streak, and they look to be on the in for the playoffs coming up here in just 8 short games, why isn't the accolades going to Mike Yo? They seem to all be going to Devin Dubnyk. And obviously, you have Zach Parise, who's playing pretty well, a bunch of injuries on the offense and the defense, but all of the praise is going to Devin Dubnyk, and very little really is, I mean, from the national media and from media around town here, is really going towards Yo. It's just kind of status quo for Mike Yo, and all the praise is going to Dubnyk.
Well, because what Dubnyk's doing is so ridiculous. I mean, people are just stunned by what he's been doing because he's never done this before. This is a goaltender that was basically given up on last season. He was sitting in some hotel room waiting for an AHL game to start a year ago at this time. And now all of a sudden, he's, all over the National Hockey League. He'll get his credit as his team continues to mature. And, people spend more time focusing on the product. But right now, everybody's focused on what Dubnyk is doing right now. And why not? Because it is remarkable. But, and then, of course, there's people like Bob that's got to kind of let it sit for a while before he starts praising him because he wanted to fire him a year ago. I got to go there. I had to go there.
You did, but it's the truth. Bob wanted him fired. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I kind of did. This year I did, too. It was disappointing because when the team comes in with such high expectations, and they just laid to, I would say, not even a dozen eggs. When you can get those big 18-package eggs, and they're like two for $5 or whatever it is.
The chocolate ones?
Sure.
I eat those. Easter time?
No, just the regular
about something
eggs.
Else completely?
Just the regular
don't
eggs.
Don't confuse me. What is the price of eggs in China? Of course I will. Tell me this. There's one more scenario that we should look into. Ben Holson asked me this question in 4.5 questions. With some of the remaining time between games, these last remaining 8 games, is it too much time to sit on your laurels, to cool down, to lose that mojo, or is it just well-needed rest and recovery to be able to come down the stretch strong and have something going into the playoffs?
I think with the playoffs staring you in the face, I think the guys, it's close enough now that, if they do wrap up a playoff spot here and there's 3 games left that are kind of throwaway games, although you'll still be fighting for positioning, but say there's a scenario where they're locked in, they can't move up or down, and you just kind of have to, run out the schedule, I don't think this team's going to lose any of its mojo right now. I think they're too jacked up about what's going on. This run has been so incredible that I don't think they're going, you know, all of a sudden go, ah, all right, I'm satisfied. We've done all we wanted to do. I don't think this group is going to allow that, not with the leadership that they have. And, you know, they know how close they were to missing everything. I don't think they're going to be satisfied by just getting in.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jim. And, you know, it's been a really exciting hockey season, and I can't believe I'm even saying that. Since the All-Star break, no one has enjoyed hockey more than the Minnesota Wild fans because of what they've been up to since that time. But we have got to go, Jim. And so with that, you're done.
We bid you adieu.
Yeah. We bid you
adieu. Well, you guys want to spend more time with the people anyways. You know, I think you're just going
to
hang out with everybody.
You know who I really
love? Right now I'm holding a baby. I'm actually shaking. I'm actually holding
it's me.
A baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, get back
over here. You're rolling your arms, which is great.
I'm shaking hands and kissing babies right now. So we
you
do have to get back to that. Oh boy.
I do vice versa. I hold hands and what is it again? I kiss hands and shake babies.
Oh good.
It's
good. That's really good.
Trust me, it hasn't worked out real well for me, but
for
some reason that's what I've been doing.
There's an arrest for you right now. Jim, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Yes, sir. Whatever you need, you know that.
Well, of course.
See you, James. Love you to death. Watch you on Fox 9.
Excellent. Great plan.
Up next, it's Hardball with Mike Berardino. We will talk the talk and kind of see how the Twins are stacking up down there in Fort Myers. It's Mike Berardino, one of the great baseball minds, and we'll get right to that right after this.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
He shot down every screamer who's been crowing that he's washed up, that he's busted up, and that he should hang them up. He's not going to do it.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket. Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Dozier swings and crushes one deep to left. Vicieto back, turns at the wall. That ball is gone. First swing after signing a four-year deal, Brian Dozier belts his third homer of the spring.
Welcome back. It's Radioactive Sports. Ben Holson and myself, the superstar Mike Morris, bringing it to you from Hubert's, downtown Minneapolis at the Target Center. The Minnesota Timberwolves set to a scrimmage against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Showtime.
But first of all, we have to get to a very important guest that joins us every day at about this time. Mike Berardino, Hardball with Mike Berardino. What's the weather like down in Florida, Mike Berardino?
What?
That's hard. What? That's Hardball. That's the tough question.
I just want to know who the important. When are you having an important guest on?
You're the guy.
You're the guy.
Drive time
you're
in Minneapolis, St. Paul. The roads are stock full.
Really?
9435W, Crosstown, 694. I mean, you name it, and we put you on the air because you're our heavy hitter. So bring it home, baby.
Bring it on.
Well, I don't know. It's getting warmer down here. It seems to be getting warmer. It's so hot in the post game here that I for the first time all spring, I took my stuff and I left the press box and I moved over to the room where they have that popcorn machine, and I shoved the popcorn machine out of the way and I set up my stuff. I don't even eat the popcorn. I can't have popcorn. I'm too fat. And I'm working in there because it's cooler. It's cooler in there. So that's when you know the regular season's fast approaching, is when it's too hot in Florida to work in the press box.
Yeah, wow. You poor baby. Yeah. Well, it snowed again a couple inches this morning by the time we had woken up. My grandma called and asked if I was okay. That's how much it snowed up here. She gets worried about things like that. It was only a couple of, you saying it gets too hot, it doesn't worry me too much. Talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball every day at this time, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Mike Berardino, we've been talking about this for the last couple of days. Torrey Hunter called Byron Buxton Mike Trout 2. Mike Trout, too. Yeah. And if anybody would know, it'd be Torrey Hunter. He played with Mike Trout in Los Angeles the first couple of years he came to the major in the major leagues. Mike Trout, that is, the MVP. Is he really that close? Is he just kind of saying that? How close do you think Byron Buxton is to Mike Trout? Because I, when I think of Byron Buxton, I think of more of a flashy guy than Mike Trout is. Mike Trout just goes out there and muscles through the ball.
Yeah, they're different body types, that's for sure. Trout is pretty thickly muscled, tightly wound. Byron's putting on some muscle since he signed, for sure. I think Torrey was probably referring more to just the hype and the expectation and the five-tool set and the fact that he thinks Byron will succeed when he gets up here. Another comparison that we've not even talked about on the show is that, you know, Mike Trout went to the Arizona Fall League at roughly the same stage of his career that Buxton had. Actually had played in Cedar Rapids as well back when it was still an Angels outpost. And he struggled. Mike Trout struggled in the Arizona Fall League at like 230. Buxton, first time he went to the Arizona Fall League, and now he's gone twice. And he did not hit very well there either, really either time. So just because you struggle against the game's top prospects doesn't mean that you can't come up here and dominate. Maybe there's that too. There's always been those little parallels between Buxton and Trout that just for all the reasons we just said, and one of them is that they both passed through Cedar Rapids and completely destroyed the Midwest League along the way.
Mike, it's just puzzling to me, I guess, when you talk about a talent like Byron Buxton, you hear Torrey Hunter talk about him the way he did a couple days ago. Trout 2 is what he called him. I wonder what it is about the game of baseball. Please help me with that. Why is that they can't come up? If they've got the speed, if they've got the glove, if they're hitting well, and I know you just addressed that with being up here at the bigs and trying to hit off these pitchers must be the psychological thing that you don't want to ruin them with. Is that most of it, or is there just another case of maturity and playing situational baseball, or is it just pretty much what happens at the plate for a guy like Byron Buxton?
Well, I mean, it's about being able to sustain the grind, isn't it? I mean, it's a sport that's just unrelenting, and the failure comes at you in waves. You could certainly take you want to get a good week out of somebody, first week of the season. Sure, you could probably bring Byron up right now, and he might hit 400 in the first week, and everybody would just be going crazy, and they think he'd never go back. But the fact is, he has not had enough minor league time. He's not had enough sustained minor league time, going back really to the end of his minor league player of the year season, because that fall league he got hurt. He had shoulder problems, and so he couldn't finish that league. Then he goes into spring training, and he can't finish out spring training because he hurts his wrist, and then he goes into a regular season finally, and he can't even play more than a 5 games without re-injuring the wrist. And it was, you know, all the way to the crazy, horrible collision in the outfield in August in his very first game in Double A. This is a guy with one game in his life above Class A. So I know people get excited, and that Torrey comment, that kind of thing, is not outlandish. Eventually, maybe later this year, like I say, I do think we'll see him. If he can stay on the field at AA Chattanooga and get a couple good months in, I wouldn't rule anything out starting from June 1st on. More likely, we'll see him in September, but that's why it takes a while.
But now, if it hadn't been for the injuries last year, the wrist, the concussion, how close do you think he would have been to being brought up last year, Mike? I mean, or would he have been brought up, or would this year be a totally different story for Byron Buxton? Would he be just automatically on this team if he had a chance to get up here without these injuries and everything else? Do you think that was the only thing that kept him from coming up?
We'll never know, obviously. Yeah. I will say that, we talked on the show already that the damage Buxton was able to do a year ago at spring training, big league spring training, before all the setbacks, was much greater than what he was able to do even this time. He's rusty, so is Sano. Both Sano and Buxton, if you just magically turn the clock back and make that wrist hold up and make that elbow hold up, they could have been to the Major League last year, no doubt. The talent is that good, but they need consistent playing time, and they need a run of success, not just 1 or 2 weeks. They need multiple months of domination in the minor leagues, which they're fully capable of and have already done, on both sides of the ball. And that's going to be a big part for Sano, too. When they bring him up, they don't want him to be a DH. They already have a DH in Kenny Vargas, and they're trying to make sure Vargas has positional flexibility over at first. He's going to play another game over at first tomorrow, Molitor said. It'll be two straight days. When Sano comes up here, his gloves and his throwing will determine as much as the bat when he's ready, because they need to be able to trust him at third, which appears to be his only position right now. They're not interested in moving him over to first at this stage.
Talking to Mike Berardino. Hardball with Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Mike, it must be a Mike thing, because you and the superstar Mike Morris talk an awful lot. You're talkers. You take too much time.
Shut your mouth. You're talking too much right now.
No, stop it.
You've already talked too much.
No, my thing is, I have one quick question, Mike Berardino, before we have to let you go. The only thing, going back to this Torii Hunter thing where he said Byron Buxton is Mike Trout, too, and I want to believe it. And Byron Buxton looks amazing to me. He's baseball's top prospect, this and that. But Torii Hunter also said good things about Aaron Hicks, Miguel Sano, and a couple other people. Is it just me, or does Torii say kind things about absolutely everybody except you?
I knew where that was going. You had 30 seconds set up just to pull that out, and I have no comment.
Thanks again, Mike Berardino. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Mike Berardino, Hardball Every Day, talking Minnesota Twins, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Enjoy the sunshine.
Bye-bye.
Mike Berardino, he's crusty.
He's our own.
He's a roughneck. He just comes across that way. I don't think he really is that way, but he does across a little bit grumpy sometimes. Anyway, what does it take? I mean, he's sitting down there in Florida with the baseball team. All he's got to worry about all day long is moving the popcorn machine and sitting down. Okay. And with that being said, you're not going to laugh at that. He said all he was doing was moving the popcorn machine so he could sit in the cooler area.
I didn't get it. Didn't make any sense to me.
You know what? There's a problem with you. You and I, that is. You too? I mean, I've got tremendous gas going right now.
It's this Northern Lakes beer, Honey Brown Lager, that we're sampling down here. It's amazing, and it gives me the burps a little bit because I'm drinking it.
Well, and don't forget the Killebrew Root Beer. They're great sponsors here as well.
It doesn't have any booze in it, but it's great if you're into the whole non-booze thing, but I like the booze.
Well, I do too. You know what we're going to do is we're going to quit talking about all this other stuff that doesn't matter to anybody else, and talk about what really does matter. That's a little Vikings football, and talking about some of these free agents that have been signed. I hope you're happy by now, because you were
happy.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions about these new free agents and get your take on what you really think we got this time around with the veteran guys and the upcoming draft now to pair up with these guys. So we'll do that next, right after the break.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The show itinerary, you know, we have the whole show listed. Ben Holson, the producer and host of this very show, will list everything in order and exactly what time slot. And a couple times on that itinerary, he will list Mike's breaks. Something that Mike wants to talk about. Well, you always kind of know when we're coming back to one of Mike's segments, because there's AC/DC. That's all you need to know, is that there's doggone AC/DC, and the crowd is jumping up for the first time.
It's like a mosh pit here at Hubert's.
I know it. I mean, it's dangerous in here right now.
Which is crazy. I mean, this is as many people at Hubert's, by the way, that I think were here at this time when Kevin Garnett came back. And you talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and the accusations that they're tanking, which Flip Saunders vehemently disagrees with. There are a lot of people here. There are a lot of people still excited about the Timberwolves, and it's strictly Kevin Garnett. Don't you agree? Because Ricky Rubio, I don't think he's playing. Martin Pack, I don't think any of those guys are playing tonight.
Is Kobe Bryant playing, though?
No, Kobe Bryant's been out most of the year.
I know he had been, but I didn't know if he was back yet.
In fact, you know, when I call him Showtime, I'm calling him Showtime and Jess, and earlier today I said, instead of Showtime, which is a pay-per-view channel, basically you have to pay like $15 a month to get it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're on Comcast or DirecTV or whatever the things that you have, I'm calling him PBS now. Because you get it free and they beg for money.
Rightly so.
That's how terrible they are.
I think it's probably definitely the Kevin Garnett factor, but the young guys are going to play again, but
take it for whatever you will. They're here. They're in full force. I think that when the Lakers show up in town, though, that's what brings them out. They just love to watch the Lakers, too. There's something about the draw of the Los Angeles Lakers that bring people out to the games. It's always been that way here. But certainly Kevin Garnett brings the biggest clout to him.
You know what's interesting is Minnesota, and we should do a study or figure this out because I'm just kind of shooting this off the top of my head. Which city in America has lost the most franchises? Of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul have lost the North Stars to Dallas. We've lost the Lakers now to Los Angeles, obviously a long time ago.
We almost lost the Twins.
Yeah, to nobody. They almost just completely shut down the team.
We almost lost the Vikings.
Yes, we did. Well,
if you want to look at it that way, there was a threat on the table that they would take off and go to Los Angeles.
Which franchise are you more angry after leaving, the Lakers or the North Stars?
I think the North Stars. I mean, that was a pretty good franchise here for a long time.
So were the Lakers.
They were good here, but I don't know.
Their name is the Lakers, for God's sakes. How many lakes do you know there to be in Southern California? They have an ocean. We're the land of 10,000 lakes.
There's no question you got me on that one. I don't know if they have a North Star in Dallas.
No, well, that's why they changed their name to Stars, because it's just
have
the regular
stars on the team. They only had our Mike Modano.
Yeah, but then you have the star of the Dallas Cowboys. They got the star in the deal. And
I guess you're right.
The Texas, the star,
makes
the
sense.
One thing,
sense,
and the whatever.
I would say that I would still say the way that the North Stars walked out of town with Green, that was probably the one that put it over the top, Norm Green. So I would still say that most people here, and this being the state of hockey,
for sure,
is that left a very, very, very bitter taste in their mouth to lose their NHL. They finally got it back with the Minnesota Wild, and look at us now.
But there's been time to heal from the Los Angeles Lakers move from Minneapolis here in the old Armory. That's where they played, right? The Armory just down the street. I would say half the people here weren't even born.
Yeah.
They weren't even born when the Lakers were originally here. I wasn't born, I don't think, when the... No, the Los Angeles Lakers were in L.A. the whole time.
I've never known, in my lifetime, the Minneapolis Lakers.
Really?
I mean, Los Angeles Lakers
you're
before.
Ancient.
Well, of course I am. And wicked. But I don't know. To me, it never was an issue. But I'm sure that a lot of people like Sid Hartman would be very adamant about his view of what you're asking right now.
You and Sid Hartman could be twins. That's how old you are. So old.
I'm old.
You smell like mothballs.
I'm really, really super old. I'm old, but he's got me times two. And I'm old.
I would say times three.
I want to ask you about the Viking free agency, too, by the way.
Sure.
We talked about Casey Matthews earlier in the show. We talked about Taylor Mays. We talked about Terrence Newman. You were having a fit almost every day when veteran free agency opened. The first couple days, actually the first week. And you wondered if the Vikings were ever going to make a decent play on something that could help this team. There was the first level that went. There was the Mike Iupatis, of course, the high-dollar guys. There was, you know, the high-roller defensive backs, and some of the bigger linebackers have already gone. Spikes is still there. How about the second layer guys? Do they bring value in, or do you even consider this a second layer, or is this what your veteran free agency should be?
No, I don't even think this is a second layer. This might be fourth or fifth layer. I don't think there are any starters in any of these guys that we brought. Taylor Mays may be a special teams guy or some depth at safety. Terrence Newman, 36 years old, for Pete's sakes, almost as old as you are. I mean, that's old. 36? Good God, man. I mean, that's ancient. No, but seriously, and then Clay Matthews' brother, Casey Matthews. Now, all these guys are depth veteran guys that you bring in a couple years under their contract, a couple years in the league, and so they're better than a rookie, so they can come in and maybe they can, you know, have some sort of competition at their alleged positions. I don't think any of these guys are starters whatsoever. Do you?
Maybe Terrence Newman can. I'm not totally sure that he can't do it. But my question is this a way you can address this team getting better along with the draft? I mean, is this how you should go about using veteran free agency to fill in some of the gaps and depth and building a team back is depth? I mean, there's no question that you have to have people when other people go down, and that happens often. We found that out last season. But along with the draft, do the Vikings use veteran free agency maybe the way you should on a cheaper route and for depth? Other people are trying to find bona fide starters. Spielberg apparently likes to fill in depth and bench and then go get the draft.
I don't think that's Spielberg at all.
You don't think so?
No, I think that's Mike Zimmer, because everything changed when Mike Zimmer came, and last year's free agency was basically similar to what we're doing now. Obviously, Linval Joseph and Captain Munnerlin were in the first week, and we re-signed some of our guys, but the way that Mike Zimmer...
I don't consider those guys upper tier.
No, not upper tier, but they were in the first week. We didn't do any. The Vikings didn't do anything this first week at all. They re-signed their own guys, but they didn't go out and get anybody else, and so I think that Rick Spielman was changing his way of thinking when Mike Zimmer was coming in. Mike Zimmer said instead of going out and spending big money on a guy like Greg Jennings or chasing after a guy like Mike Wallace and losing out, then having to get Greg Jennings or going out and spending
mean,
the
well,
points.
We got Mike Wallace. We can get Mike Johnson.
No, I'm talking 2 years ago when we were chasing Mike Wallace. Okay. We ended up getting Greg Jennings for still a ton of money, okay. Less money than Mike Wallace.
Okay.
That was Rick Spielman. Rick Spielman was a guy that would go out and spend money and make a splash. He'd make trades in the draft, and he'd do mover and shaker and spend money. He likes to rub, rub shoulders with the big money guys and be a player. He likes that. However, I think there's this transition for the Minnesota Vikings to want to be a franchise like the Green Bay Packers, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, not so much like the New England Patriots, because they'll go out and sign people every once in a while, but to draft well and then re-sign your guys like the Green Bay Packers did. But in order to do that, you can't all of a sudden do that overnight. You're going to have some of these guys come in, like a Terrence Newman, where you can have a stopgap guy, a Casey Matthews, where he can come in and maybe prove that he's worth whatever, beyond a one-year contract. Same thing with Taylor Mays, who, you know, are going to be little toys for Mike Zimmer to play with on defense and special teams while we continue to draft well and then make big contracts with Harrison Smith, Kyle Rudolph, Teddy Bridgewater, Adrian Peterson, Everson Griffin. I mean, the guys that we draft, re-signing them to big major contracts. That's what they're trying to do, but they can't do it overnight.
Do you think, though, that part of this can be due to the fact that we hold one of the biggest chips on the table with veteran free agency? That being not so much a free agent, but a tradable player in Adrian Peterson that they just have so many question marks about that they couldn't go out and approach this offseason with veteran free agency seriously because of the numbers that were involved with Adrian.
Absolutely. I think that's another key part of it. And also another part of that deal, too, is that they continue to play at TCF Bank Stadium. And I don't think they're making a lot of money at TCF Bank Stadium while they continue to wait for the new stadium to be finished here. They're putting the glass in the stadium just down the street here on 7th. And so I think they'll make a big splash. They may, you know, spend some money in free agency that year to kind of make that final push where we may be a player or two away as we built that solid foundation with young guys like Xavier Rhodes and Everson Griffin and Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr. And then on the offense with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Cordero Patterson comes around or Charles Johnson, Kyle Rudolph. Hopefully Matt Khalil turns around too. And so you've got those solid players. I want to say 7 first-round picks in the last 3 years. They're building something here. And they're going to continue to build until they get into that new stadium. And then when they need that last final one or two players, they're going to go out and sign them.
I hope you're right. I really do.
I am right.
I hope you're right. I just hope they go out and make good on that number 11 choice, whether it's Trey Waynes or if it's Scherf or whoever. We've got to make it count. They have two glaring weaknesses, one on the offensive line for sure. I'm not so sure that cornerback isn't another glaring weakness along with middle linebacker. But anyway, that's our discussion. Agree with it or not, you can always call us 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you'd like to call the show anytime, you can. Absolutely. We're at Hubert's. It's Wolves Wednesday, and they are getting ready to scrimmage the Los Angeles Lakers. It's showtime, Ben Holson says. We're going to come on back, and when we do, we got Brandon Warren with Cold Omaha. That's one of the writers at 105 The Ticket. They call themselves Cold Omaha, and we will have Brandon Warren on with us right after this break.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Welcome back. We are at Hubert's live with Radioactive Sports. Ben Holson, the superstar Mike Morris, joined by our wonderful guest Brandon Warren, who we just love dearly, and we call him a brother here at this very radio station. And we
since
often,
when do we call him a brother?
We don't call him a brother.
I've never called him a brother before in my life. Why do you?
Well,
why
we
do
called
you?
Him something.
Yeah.
And we can start now.
A brother? Do you want to be a brother? Or do you want to be
there's
something
Brandon
else?
Right now. I mean, can we call you one of our brothers?
I'm open for whatever. It don't make any difference to me.